Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to Polytype, a band that just played South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas, as well as Moneypenny, another band that made their way down Texas way. Polytype is an electronic-based indie band from Provo, Utah, consisting of Jared Price, Jason Gibby, and Mason Porter. They were originally formed in January of 2011 under the name Soft Science, but they had to get rid of that name when they found out another band was already using it. When they became Polytype, they released their debut album called Basic Complex back in January of 2013. The band recently played South by Southwest, and I chatted with Mason Porter on the phone about the experience.
Why don't we just start with you giving sort of your general impressions of the experience that you had down there? I mean, you know, what kind of shows you played? What was the overall takeaway for the band?
It was a blast. I mean, there's so many people, so many shows to go see. It's not possible to do everything you want to do down there just because there's so much going on. But we definitely got our... It was definitely a fun time for us. We did as much as we could and enjoyed it. And the shows were better than I would have hoped.
How many shows did you guys play?
We played three. Yeah, we played on Tuesday night right when we got down there. And then Friday and Saturday we played as well.
What kind of setups were you playing with? A lot of, you know, bands that were just dramatically different from yourselves? Or were you kind of set up with somewhat thematically in terms of the sound? How did that work out?
It was pretty close, actually. The Tuesday night show was our official showcase.
Okay.
And I think South By tries to do... You know, they try to make the showcases make sense, so most of the other bands were electronic or at least had some electronic elements like we do.
Okay.
The show on Saturday, the bands around us were really similar to us, and on Friday was the one that was mostly kind of just good indie bands, but it still made sense.
Okay. So. Was this the first time you had been down for South by Southwest?
Yeah, it was. It was the first time for all of us. So.
Oh, great. Well, tell me about, I mean, was it, what were you kind of imagining it was going to be like, and then how did the reality sort of match up with what you thought it would be?
I don't know if I really had any expectations. I didn't expect it to be, like, all over Austin. Like, everywhere you went, like, in the city, there was music being played. I thought it would be a little bit more centralized.
Okay.
It's really, like, it's so far flung, and, like, everywhere you go,
yeah,
there's stuff going on. So it's pretty incredible. Since I knew there were going to be so many other bands there, I didn't really have high expectations. I mean, comparatively speaking, you know,
sure,
not so many people have heard about us. But on a Saturday show, it was mostly because the showcase was really well put together on Saturday. But, I mean, we played for a packed bar, and there was, like, a line going down the street around the corner.
Awesome.
So it was really cool to see the kind of turnout. We were playing with bands I hadn't even heard of, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, it is pretty... I've been down there several times, and it's amazing just how big it is, but also how most of it goes off like clockwork, you know? Like,
yeah.
Bands get up and off stages, and they're going through so many on any given day. It's pretty amazing.
Sure.
Were there any, you know, shows out there that you were able to catch of other bands that, you know, were sort of on your want-to list when you headed down there, or were you mostly focused on what you guys were doing?
I wanted to see St. Vincent really bad, because I didn't get to see her when she came through on her last tour or with David Byrne, so I was really stoked to see that. So we got into that showcase. I mean, that was Wednesday night, but once I saw that show, I didn't think I would see anything better than that.
Right.
That week, and it was incredible. I want to go see her when she comes back to Salt Lake in a few weeks. So it was that good that I want to go see it again.
Yeah, nice. Were there any kind of new discoveries? Obviously, there's just so much happening, and there's, like you mentioned, there's so many bands that we haven't necessarily been exposed to yet here in Utah through tours and things. Did you find any new favorites down there?
Yeah, there is a band that played with us on our first show. The singer's name, they were kind of put on last second. The singer's name was Greta... They're from, like, Faroe Islands, like a
oh, wow.
like part of Denmark.
Yeah.
Her name was Greta... I can't even remember her name is. Weird Danish name.
Sure.
But they were so good. I mean, the guitar player was using his iPad. He wrote a program on his iPad that was allowing him to capture the singer's vocals as she was singing, and he could, like, play back parts of it and play them. He could, like, make chords out of
the
notes she was singing, and it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. So.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah, and it was weird because he was, like, doing all this, and it was a small bar, and nobody had ever heard of them, and there's just this guy from an island of, like, 50,000 people. I looked it up on Wikipedia after they told us.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man, that's pretty awesome that a small island like that has crazy music.
Yeah, some great music coming out of it. How did Polytype, you know, kind of get hooked up with South by Southwest? How does that just sort of work, I guess, logistically for a band out here in Utah? Is it the kind of thing that you apply for? Does somebody ring you up? How does that work?
As far as I know, almost everybody has to apply through the Sonic Bid website. I think that's kind of how they do their official applications. So we did that, and we were accepted. We applied last year and didn't get accepted. You can go down and play unofficial showcases.
Sure.
If you have connections. But for the official ones, I think for most people, you have to go through Sonic Bids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our official showcase was through that, and then we had the two unofficial showcases. Our manager has good relationships with. We played one for the Wild Honey Pie blog.
Oh, okay.
And so that was through our manager. He set that up. And then there's another blog out of San Francisco called Beautiful Buzz, and that was set up with our manager as well.
Cool. Nice. What do you feel was sort of the... Did the band kind of talk about what you were hoping to get out of it, or was it just a matter of, like, let's go down and play some shows, have a great time in Texas, see some other things, or, you know, was there sort of a more of a, I guess, practical plan to the experience?
We had been hoping to have some new music out before. I mean, when we applied, I think, like, 6 months ago, a long time ago. And we're hoping to have some stuff ready. That kind of didn't happen. We had some different things come up. I had a kid a few months ago, so that kind of threw a wrench in the...
Changes the schedule a bit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so some things came up. So we kind of just went down to have a good time and meet some industry people. We had actually only hung out with our manager once in real life. It's mostly been communication over the phone.
Okay.
And email and stuff. So it was nice to kind of spend a few days with him. We met some PR people and stuff down there, but mostly it was just to go have a good time. We hung out with our friends from back home a lot. We hung out with the Moth and the Flame and
and
Mido a lot. So that was really nice to just be with familiar people in a new environment and go see some shows. So
yeah, eat some good food and all that. Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people might have the impression that South by Southwest is kind of like the Sundance Film Festival here, and it's really more of, I don't know if casual is the right word since it is so big, but, you know, at Sundance, everybody's kind of, they're taking their indie film and they're hoping to get a deal out of it, and South by Southwest, I mean, a lot of the bands have different indie deals or put out their own music, and it is more just about, like, the experience of the live shows. It's really cool that way, I think.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Even though there's a lot of industry people there, not everyone's there to make a deal, you know, all the time, right? But
sure.
So what, you know, could you just tell us a little bit about, you know, what's next on sort of the Polytype game plan coming up in the next few months?
Well, things kind of just got shifted back a bit, so we're hoping to release some new material this year. We're writing and recording right now, so don't really have a date set for it yet because we want to kind of plan how we release that and what waves we're going to do, what kind of content we're going to put out. But we're definitely excited to have some new material coming out.
We're going to listen to a song now from Polytype. This is Coin Flip off of their 2013 album, Basic Complex.
Calling for it.
For more info on the band, visit them online at polytypemusic.com. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting on April Fool's Day, April 1st, and heading into April 7th. As always, I would encourage you to go to slugmag.com, check out those listings at the bottom of the homepage. There's always great stuff going on. When I looked at this week coming up, oh my God, I was overwhelmed with all the awesome musical options and other kinds of goodies that are in there. So get this, Tuesday, April 1st, starting off, Neutral Milk Hotel. Long loved band, hasn't toured in quite a while. They're coming through playing the Depot along with Elf Power. So excited for that show. I'm so excited, it's going to make me miss another great show. Fanfarlo combines a little indie rock, a little post-punk, even some folk. They're playing at the Urban Lounge that same night, Tuesday, April 1st. Two great shows that night. Wednesday, April 2nd, another good show at the Depot. Yonder Mountain String Band, if you're into that bluegrass thing, and I am. They're headlining, they're joined by the Brothers Comatose, another really solid roots rock band. That should be a fun show on Wednesday, April 2nd. Thursday, April 3rd, another night of lots of great shows. Let's start with Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks at Urban Lounge. Malkmus, of course, beloved ringleader of Pavement. Now he's out with his fourth or fifth solo album along with his band, the Jicks. Should be a great show at Urban Lounge. He's been doing some Pavement songs on this tour. Really excited for that one. Across the way a bit over at the Stateroom, Blitz and Trapper. They come through here pretty regularly. Always a great live band. I love them so much, but not enough to miss Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. And then that same night at Bar Deluxe, if ska is more your thing, the Mad Caddies with Bombshell Academy, Mrs. Scanato, they're all playing together at Bar Deluxe. Should be a good time there. Friday, April 4th, new issue of Slug, available any place cool, of course. And a really great roots show, Larry and his Flask, along with Charles Ellsworth and Matthew and the Hope. They're all playing together at Bar Deluxe. That should be a great time. Saturday, April 5th. It's the Black Box Belly Dance Affair at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center. Great chance to catch some belly dancing in a unique environment, the little Black Box Theater there. And that night you can catch some local rock with Minx, Bombshell Academy, and Bip 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 all playing at the Woodshed. Once again, go to slugmag.com, scroll down there, check out those calendar listings. There's always new great stuff going in there. If you throw shows, book shows, any of those kinds of things, you can add your own content for free for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year. You can add some quality links to your links. Moneypenny is a pop-punk band based in both Utah and California, and of course named for the awesome secretary from the James Bond movies. The group was originally formed in 2006 and feature Isaac Ellsworth, Nick Batod, Ryan Pasty, and Steve Holmes. They released a brand new full-length self-titled album on Wise Move Records. This is a song called Below the Surface from their self-titled debut. Slug writer Steve Gomat chatted with Isaac Ellsworth on the phone while they were in Austin about their experience down at South by Southwest.
As veterans to the South by Southwest Festival, besides, you know, just meeting new people and seeing new places open up, how else has the experience changed for you guys?
Oh, man. Well, it brings us closer together, you know. We see all these other bands doing what we're doing, you know, and we take pointers. You know, it's just like a melting pot for us, kind of, you know?
Just getting to know new people and see new bands.
Learning about companies you've never heard of that are doing crazy things, you know, like, it's literally the coolest place to be.
That's sweet.
We spent so much time in such close proximity with, you know, the other three guys. Like, yeah, you definitely learn a lot about the other people. But
oh, yeah. Lots of nakedness, too.
That'll happen, for sure.
I got a little in trouble last night. I was hopping on top of buildings last night.
Oh, yeah? Were there any sodas involved?
Lots of adult sodas.
So how do you guys feel that the pop-punk genre fits into the rest of the festival?
You know, I think pop-punk fits in anywhere. It's kind of like a staple for most kids my age. Like, we grew up on it, and it's more of like a... Money Penny's refreshing to people because they used to listen to this music, and nobody does it. And the bands that did it changed into another style of music.
Mm-hmm.
And we stuck to our guns with this one, you know? This is what we love.
Of course, as far as the festival goes, it's so, like, diverse, like, with styles, like...
You can hear any kind of music you want down here right now.
And the age, what's mm-hmm. the demographic, like...
Yeah, it's pretty vast down here. Like, I was hanging out with, like, 6-year-old dudes last night that like punk rock.
Oh, that's and sweet.
I actually was having drinks with the owner of Sonic Bids, and I didn't even know it. At least I bought him a drink. I'm like, yeah, remember me?
There you go. So I've been listening to your guys' new album a lot. I really like it. How's the response been to the album?
Oh my gosh, it's been amazing. It's already done way more than I thought it could do. A lot of it's like people I actually talk to as friends and family, but my family's never really listened to the music I play, but this is a winner. Like everyone I talk to likes it. I've honestly met one person that didn't like the album so far.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
And I feel blessed, you know. Joel Pack produced it. You know, it's been a long time in the making, and I think we played our cards just right.
It seems like, you know, just one of those albums. It's impossible not to bob your head to it and not to have a smile on your face. So definitely dig the sound.
You know, like I've always been in bands that kind of were a little bit more positive, but like I wouldn't even say we're a negative band. We don't swear. We just talk about how girls are mean in like the nicest of ways. Like we work really hard at trying to be clean, but still making our point. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So 2014, you guys got a new album out. You're playing South by Southwest. What's the next big thing for you guys in 2014?
North by Northeast in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, sweet. When is that going on?
End of June.
Very cool. So you're going from, you know, nice warm southern weather and straight up to Toronto.
We love hockey, so it's gonna be fun for that too, you know.
Yeah.
You guys have a joke that I'm secret Canadian. I drink a lot of Canadian beer and play hockey, and
it's true.
We're going home for me, so I'm looking forward to that.
So you guys seem, I mean, you know, just listening to your guys' music, reading up on you guys seem to love what you're doing. What message do you guys really push with your music?
I wouldn't say so much there's like a message as much as our live show. We try and like break the barriers down and be friends with everyone, no matter what style of music is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And most bands, they have like cliques, you know, and we like to break that down, you know, because we're friends with everybody. We don't care who you are. We're happy that you love music.
Like, what was that thing you were saying yesterday, Ryan? Like, we don't have fans, we have friends.
Yeah, we have friends. Fans is a stupid word. Like, we have friends. We meet good people. And I still, everyone I try and keep up on contact on Facebook, I message people from all over the world constantly because they just love our music. I mean, I feel blessed.
Do you guys still get jitters before going on a stage or playing a big show?
There's Ryan, I do. I'm nervous in front of people in general.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys make it that much easier to be up there, you know?
I was going to say, for me, this is Steve, by the way, for me, it's not if there's a lot of people, it's if there's only a few people.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I get
it. I think we're critiqued a little bit more in smaller settings because they come and talk to us, and we learn about ourselves by having people tell us what they got out of it, you know, and we kind of revolve around the fans, you know, like that they keep us going, you know?
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that for sure.
Yeah, and if people like some of our songs better than the other songs, we make a point to play the songs that they want to hear, you know?
So just kind of gaining perspective from your fans and all that good stuff.
And yeah, like everyone we meet just is so cool, you know? Like we literally haven't met too many like bands that didn't like mesh with us. Like we're a melting pot here, you know? We're trying to break down the walls.
Yeah, just trying to give everybody a little something to dig on.
Yeah, I mean,
grow a scene, you know?
Exactly, you know? We should all be a big type. Like from Salt Lake, I can't wait to see the day when all the Utah bands are friends and we all come to each other's shows. When we're on tour, we tour with them, even if it's a different style of music, you know? It brings more people, more diversity.
It helps everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you guys want to be by this time next year? Is it going to be South by Southwest again, or other tours, or recording?
I want to be in China. Personally, I want to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of you asking us that question.
There you go.
I don't care as long as we're having fun and doing the same thing and spreading the music to more people than we were a year ago.
For more information on the band, visit them online at wearemoneypenny.com. As always, thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves. And for all things Slug Magazine, visit us online at slugmag.com. Coming up, we're going to have Jeffrey Stedman, the man behind Yelp Utah, to join us and talk about awkward restaurants in the area, places where it's maybe just a little bit off. And we'd like to hear what some of your awkward experiences have been out on the restaurant scene. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at slugsoundwaves or facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your awkward experience on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is one Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up again next week. We'll be talking about Awkward Fest 2014 with the man, Brian Staker. And we'll have Jeffrey Stedman in from Yelp, Utah to talk about those awkward restaurants. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.